الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we're reading that which the author had mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى, clarifying some important points with regards to the creed of the disbelievers in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that was their understanding of the word al-ilah, their understanding of the word al-ilah, and that they used to devote themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and along with that they would take aliha along with Allah azza wa jal, which is the plural of al-ilah. So they would worship others along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as has preceded, they did not believe that their aliha created, nor did they believe that they sustained or disposed of the affairs of the universe, but rather they had taken those aliha as intercessors. So therefore they would direct different aspects of worship and devotion to those aliha besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing that these aliha would draw them near to Allah azza wa jal. Believing that these aliha would draw them near to Allah azza wa jal. So this is something that they were upon and their forefathers were upon, and they did not want to leave that. So they understood that if they were to say La ilaha illallah, there's no true ilaha who's worthy of worship except for Allah, then they would have to leave off all of their aliha. They would have to leave off all of their aliha, and they would have to make all of that devotion and those actions of worship and servitude and hope and fear, they must direct that entirely to Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have seen this in a number of classes, especially in the previous class. So because they understood this term specifically, al-ilah, they understood this word properly, this led to them likewise understanding kalimatu tawheed. This likewise led them to understand properly kalimatu at-tawheed, the statement la ilaha illallah. And because of this, they rejected it and they would not say it. This brings us to what the author he's referring to the mushrikun from this ummah in the time of the author, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and likewise their creed and way extends until our days as well, and that is that there are individuals who are calling on the graves besides Allah Azza wa Jal, and the awliya besides Allah Azza wa Jal, and their understanding and that which they do with these awliya, with the Sayyid or with the Shaykh or with the Wali or with Sahib Sir, we have seen these terms that they use. What they do with these objects is the same thing that the mushrikun used to do with their aliha. The exact same thing that the mushrikun used to do with their aliha. So the reason why these people, they're doing this with al-sayyid and with al-wali and with sahib al-sir and the likes and with al-shaykh, is because they do not understand properly the meaning of al-ilah. They have misinterpreted this term, and likewise therefore they have misinterpreted the statement La ilaha illallah, and thus they have fallen into shirk. They have fallen into a shirk sarih, and direct and clear paganism and polytheism, and devoting great actions of worship and servitude and devotion and trust and reliance to others than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also along with the same claim that they are their intercessors and that they will draw them near to Allah Azza wa Jal. With this, we see the great importance to understand this term, al-ilah, and likewise to understand the statement, la ilaha illallah, properly, to understand it properly. So with that, we look into some of the earliest dictionaries. We will look into one of them. And if you were to look into a number of them, I mean, we could bring a number of dictionaries from the early generations of the scholars of the Arabic language, and we will find that they're all in agreement. They're all in agreement with the definition of the word ilah. And I have from the earliest dictionaries, Mu'jam Maqayis al-Lughah. Mu'jam Maqayis al-Lughah. It's a very famous dictionary. It's in approximately 6 volumes. And it's by Ibn Faris, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He died in 395. He died in 395. He will mention the jidr, and then after that he will mention the letters that compromise that jidr. The jidr is the verbal root. And then after that he will clarify whether this particular root has one or more meanings and the likes like this, and then he will go on to interpret each one of them in the Arabic language, and many times using the poetry from the times of al-Jahiliyyah to support the evidence for the understanding of this particular word. So he says here, whenever we open up the chapter of Hamza, he says alaha. Al-hamzatu wal-lamu wal-ha'u aslun wahidun. Al-hamzatu wal-lamu wal-ha'u alaha. This is the verb alaha ya'lahu min babi fataha yaftahu. Alaha ya'lahu. So he's saying alaha, the hamza, al-hamza, wal-lam, wal-ha'u. This word here that's comprised of these three letters in that order, aslun wahidun. It has only one meaning. It has only one meaning, one fundamental meaning. It has one fundamental meaning, وَهُوَ التَّعَبُّدُ, and that is worship. And that is worship. He says, فَالْإِلَاهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. الْإِلَاهُ, meaning the true God, this is Allahu Ta'ala. So it says, سُمِّيَ بِذَلِكَ لِأَنَّهُ مَعْبُودٌ. سُمِّيَ بِذَلِكَ لِأَنَّهُ مَعْبُودٌ. Allah, He is given this name, الْإِلَاهُ. He is called الْإِلَاهُ because He is مَعْبُودٌ. He is the one who was worshipped. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيُقَالُ تَأَلَّهَ الرَّجُلُ. Yani referring to another scale of this verb, now on the scale of تَفَعَلَ. وَيُقَالُ تَأَلَّهَ الرَّجُلُ إِذَا تَعَبَّدَ. And you say that a man made تَأَلَّهَ, meaning he started to worship. Meaning إِذَا تَعَبَّدَ. Likewise in other dictionaries it will say إِذَا تَنَسَّكَ وَتَعَبَّدَ. Yani he began engaging himself in actions of worship. And actions of worship. So this word here, it revolves around this meaning here. Even the masdar, one would say alaha ya'lahu ilahatan. Alaha ya'lahu ilahatan. Bimana abada ya'budu ibadatan. So alaha ya'lahu ilahatan, it means abada ya'budu ibadatan. These words are synonyms. They're called mutaradifa, yani fi taraduf. They're synonyms. They have the same meaning, and even very similar on the scales, especially on the masters. Ilaha wa ibada, ilaha wa ibada. So al ilahatu, yani al ibadatu. Alaha ya'lahu ilahatan, abada ya'budu ibadatan. This is something that's very clear in the Arabic language for those who have an understanding of the Arabic language. He says, "Qala rubatu lillahi darul ghaniyati al-muddahi." سَبَّحْنَا وَاسْتَرْجَعْنَا مِنْ تَأَلُّهِ. And referring to this issue, and that this is something that was known to the Arab, yani in al-Jahiliyyah. And this is very clear with regards to the understanding of Quraysh. And this is the reason why they refused to accept the statement لا إله إلا الله, because they know that it means the one who was worshipped. That means the ma'lu, that ilah, it means the ma'lu, which is the ma'bud, the one that is worshipped, the one that is worshipped. So this is from the linguistic aspect from some of the Arabic dictionaries, from the Arabic dictionaries. And again, if we were to look into a number of the classical dictionaries from the early generations, you will find exactly the same thing or very similar. Possibly you will find a little bit more detail. So this is the case. Also, in the Arabic language, there are scales. So words in the Arabic language, they come on scales. Like we see in this one, is alaha ya'lahu. So that scale is fa'ala yaf'alu. Then you can put it on the scale of tafa'ala, like Ibn Faris, he did, that we just read. And he said ta'allaha, and the likes like this. So the verbs, they come on scales. But likewise, the nouns as well, they come on scales. And each scale, it has a specific meaning that will be determined by the context. So possibly one scale, especially in the nouns, also in the verbs, could have a number of meanings. So you will conjugate a particular word on a particular scale because you want that word to carry the meaning of that scale. You want that word to carry the meaning of that scale in that context. So this is something that's well known, and from the beauty of the Arabic language, something that's well known. And likewise from the beauty and the richness of the Arabic language. There's no new idea or concept that comes except the Arabic language has scales. has scales and roots, any words that are mufradat, were vocabulary words that can be placed on different scales to carry the meanings of these new affairs. It's only from the plots of the enemies of Al-Islam and the weakness of some of the Muslims that they use terms from English or from French and introduce them into the Arabic language. Like they would say, instead of computer. They will make this into an Arabic word and say it in Arabic, but there's no need for that because there are scales that you could put a vocabulary word on a particular scale and it would indicate that meaning and carry that context. And if, for example, one will say hasub, hasib al-ali. So the point is there's no need to use these other words for these new ideas and inventions that have come along. Rather, the Arabic language, it is rich and full of meaning and also scales that will be able to carry any new ideas that come along. And even if there's ever a need, to introduce one of these words, there's a way to do it. It's called nahat, an-nahat. That a word will be conjugated into the Arabic language properly. So this is a point to be made. From those scales, we have a very common scale in the Arabic language. It's a scale called maf'ul. And the scale of maf'ul is a scale for the nouns. And this scale is conjugated to refer to the object of the verb. So if you want to say that the door is open, you say the al-babu maftuh. So opened, being opened is the object of the verb. The verb is opening. So then you say al-babu maftuh. So now I'm expressing myself as saying that the door is opened. So the verb had occurred to the door, and the door is the object of the verb opening. فَهُوَ مَفْتُوحٌ. So this is just a simple example. So if we take that same example and we use the root ibadah, which means worship. So on the scale of maf'ud, then we say ma'bud. So anything that's worship, anything that ibadah occurs to, is called ma'bud. Anything that ibadah occurs to is called ma'bud. Ibadah literally means worship, devotion, and servitude, and ubudiyah. So anything that ibadah occurs to, that thing is called ma'bud. So if we look into life, any past and present, we see that the ma'budat are many. That mankind has many ma'budat. They have many objects of worship. Some people, they worship the sun or the stars or the moon. Others, they worship angels or prophets or righteous. Others, they worship those who are lesser and lower than that. Some, they worship stones and trees and jinn and the likes like this. And others, they worship the creator of all of that. So all of these things here, they're objects of worship for those people who worship them. So they're considered ma'bud. Each one of them is considered ma'bud for that person. Whatever one worships, that's his ma'bud. That's his object of worship. So, as we've seen, this word ibadah and the word ilaha has the same meaning. And also their skills are similar. Alaha and abada. Abada means he worshipped. So as we've seen, what Ibn Faris, he mentioned, rahimahullah, alaha also means he worshipped. Abada means to abada. And he engaged himself in worship. Just like alaha means to allaha, as he showed and clarified. So therefore, these words, they both mean worship. So then if we do the same thing with the verb alaha, like we did to abada, and put it on the scale of maf'ul, then we come up with the word ma'lu. So ma'lu is the same thing as ma'bud. They're synonyms. Ma'lu and ma'bud. Both of these are scales for the object of the verb. And the scale for the object of the verb of alaha is ma'lu. Just like the scale for the object of the verb of abada is ma'bud. So these words are synonyms. So the verbs have the same meaning and the scales have the same meaning here. So therefore we understand that this term here, ma'luhun, it means ma'budun, has exact same meaning in the Arabic language. There's no difference about this. If you look into the dictionaries, you'll find this is the clear meaning. That's why he said Allah, he's called al-ilah li'annahu ma'budun. لأنه معبود والإله مألوه وإلى الإله مألوه. يعني the one who is the إله, he's the one that is مألوه. So this leads us to another point with regards to the scales of the Arabic language. And that is sometimes one scale will come with the meaning of another scale. The scales sometimes in certain contexts may be interchangeable. That one word will be able to be conjugated on more than one scale and they'll have the same meaning. And many times in the eloquence of speaking and in the balagha, there will be detailed differences, but in general, they'll carry the same meaning. Or even sometimes one scale could carry the meaning of two other different scales. For an example for this one, let's say, whenever we say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الرجيم is on the scale of فائل. من الرجم. الرجم is stoning. To stone someone, this is called الرجم. Also to cast somebody out as well. طرد. And it also means الرجم. So here, الرجيم, which is on the scale of فائل, it also means مفعول. Then الشيطان, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان المرجوم. المبعد المطرود. The shaitan, he is the outcast. He is the one who is the outcast. That's how we translate it in English, right? I seek refuge with Allah from the accursed or the outcast devil. From the outcast devil. So the word fa'il, the scale fa'il here, it means maf'ul also. It means maf'ul. لِأَنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ مَرْجُومٌ. مَرْجُوم, he's outcast. He's outcast. And so this is an example of that. Even there could be other cases where that same scale could mean fa'il. The fa'il could mean fa'il. Like Allah Azza wa Jalla, he's al-alim, yani al-alim, al-hafidh, yani al-hafidh. But the meaning is more intensified now when it's on the scale of fa'il than if it was on the scale of fa'il. So these are some benefits from the science of a sarf. And some people maybe they're following along and other people maybe they're not following along. And those who are not following along, this could be an encouragement to learn the Arabic language, but it's very important. It's very important, especially to understand the deen, to learn the Arabic language in order to understand the religion. And especially for Ahl Sunnah, yani that they will be strong and firm in the Arabic language, because if not, the people of innovation, they will do the likes of these affairs and they will misinterpretate the Arabic language, or they will misuse the scales, or they will introduce innovations from this aspect, and many innovations in the past. Many innovations in the past were introduced from the way of the Arabic language, and from misinterpreting or misusing the Arabic language. And so the people of the Sunnah, the scholars of Hadith, and from them those who are scholars likewise in the Arabic language, from them they had stood up to refute that and clarify that falsehood. But this is something that's very important. Even until today, this is why the people of knowledge mentioned is so important for the students of knowledge who are learning the Arabic language to not study the Arabic language at the hands of the innovators or at the hands of the misguided or at the hands of those people who are unknown, but rather to study the Arabic language at the hands of the people of the Sunnah for this reason. And that's not only the case with the Arabic language, rather that's the case with every science. But here we're emphasizing on the issue of studying the Arabic language. So many times these ideas are introduced in the Arabic language, and the way that the mu'attila, those who deny the sifat, and the mu'tazila and the likes like this, they'll do that from misinterpreting issues in the Arabic language, introducing ideas into the Arabic language, yani from their understanding and the likes like this, from al-majaz and from al-hadhv and the likes like this. So they will use this aspect to introduce their falsehood. So one who is not strong or grounded in that, maybe he'll be affected by that falsehood. Maybe he'll be affected by those shubuhat. So this is the issue here. So now we see that this word al-ilah, if we look at al-ilah, again, it's the verb is alaha. So the scale of ilah is fi'al. The scale of ilah is fi'al. Ilahun fi'alun. Ilahun fi'alun. And in the Arabic language, there are many words on this scale. Likewise, fi'al. Ilah, like firash. And like ghiras, and like mihad, and like bisat, and other than that, there are a number. Kitab, fi'al, there ahsanta, kitab, fi'al. There are a number of words on this scale. there are a number of words on this scale, fi'al. If we look at these other words and then we look at the meaning of these words, we will find that this scale, fi'al, many times it has the meaning of maf'ul. So if we ask ourselves, what is the meaning of kitab in English? In English, it's a book. We say it's a book. But the al-kitab, this is something that is written. So kitab, it means maktub. And something that is ghiras, it means maghruz. Something that is ghiras, and it's planted into the ground. So that means maghruz. And firash, firash is something that is laid out, meaning mafroosh. And likewise, bisalt and mabsoot. And mihad and mamhood. They have the same meaning. So these words, all of them, they're coming on the scale of fi'al. But the meaning of that scale here, with these particular terms, is maf'ul. Is maf'ul, referring to the scale for the object of the verb. So therefore, we see that ilah is the ma'lu. The ilah is the ma'lu. This is from just understanding basic Arabic language. The ilah is the ma'lu. So what is the ilah? It's the ma'lu. What was that other term that's maybe more common for the word ma'lu? Ma'bud. So therefore, the ilah is the ma'bud, the ma'lu, the one that is deified, the one that is worshipped, the one that is obeyed absolutely, the one that one would devote himself to. This is called the ilah. So this is what the mushrikun, they used to do. They used to have aliha. The plural of ilah is aliha. But they didn't believe that their aliha were creators or providers or sustainers of the universe. Rather, they believed that they would take them near to Allah. They believed that they would take them near to Allah. Even in times of hardship, what would they do for their aliha? They will leave them. In times of hardship and distress, they will leave their aliha and they will go to Allah, because they know that Allah, He has ultimate command and authority, and only He can save at this time. And only He can save at this time. So this is again important, going back to their creed. So they didn't believe that their aliha possessed the attributes of perfection. That the mushrikun in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they did not believe that their aliha possessed the attributes of perfection. They knew that their aliha, they didn't have the ability to create. They knew their aliha did not have the ability to sustain or provide. They even knew their aliha did not have the ability to save them when they're drowning in the ocean, or whenever they're afraid in the sea, or whenever a great army comes with elephants to destroy their land. They know at this time, in the face of this great harm, their aliha cannot help them. So they turn away from their aliha and they go to the true ilah. And they call on Allah alone. So this was their creed. That's an important point. Likewise, because from the misguided doubts they tried to present today, is that if somebody did not believe that which he's devoting himself to is an ilah, or if he did not believe that that thing that he is calling on besides Allah has the attributes of perfection, then he's not taking it as a god. But even Quraysh, they did not believe that their aliha had the attributes of perfection. Rather, they knew that this was for Allah Azza wa Jal. Rather, they knew that this was for Allah Azza wa Jal. So these are all important points. The word ilah, it means ma'lu. The word ilah, it means ma'lu. So that something that is an ilah is something that is worshipped. Anything that somebody worships, he has taken that thing as his ilah. Whether he believes that it's an ilah or not. Whether he believes that it's an ilah or not. It's not a condition to worship something to believe that it's that you're worshiping it. And if he devotes any aspect of worship to it, he has taken it as an object of worship. Sha'a amaba, whether he likes it or not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّقَدَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. Have you not seen the one who has taken his own desires as his ilah? Have you not seen the one who has taken his own desires as his ilah? The people of knowledge from the Ibn Kathir and the likes, they mentioned that this is a person that whatever he likes, he does it. And whatever he doesn't like, he leaves it. Without any guidance whatsoever. He's somebody who completely follows his desires. At Hassan al-Basri, he mentioned that هو الذي ما يهوى شيئا إلا ركبه. He's the one who did not desire, or his whims did not rile up for anything except for he did it. And so this is the one who's taken his own soul as his God. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Have you not seen the one who has taken his hawa, his desires, as his ilah? How did he do that? What is intended here? Does he mean that he is calling on his own desires and worshipping his own desires? Yani, and calling on his own desires to save him from the distress or to provide him with the child? Is this what is intended? How did he take his own desires, his own hawa, as his ilah? Yani by obeying his desires and whims and the disobedience of Allah Azza wa Jal in this manner like this, and following his desires absolutely, and loving himself and giving the in this manner, loving his own desires, loving his whims, loving to follow yani whatever he likes and the likes like this. So in this manner he's considered like this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ta'isa 'abdu dinar, ta'isa 'abdu dirham, ta'isa Abdul Khamisa, ta'isa wan takasa. May he be destroyed, may he be a loser, the one who is a slave of the dinar, the slave of the dirham, the slave of the thawb, the slave of the thawb. What is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam referring to here? That these people, they're prostrating before a dirham, before a coin, before a dollar, they're prostrating before thawbs, or they're slaves to them. They're slaves to them, and they love them to the extent that they follow their desires in order to get it. The dollar controls them. If they have money and clothing and fashion and the likes like this, they're happy. If they don't have it, they're sad. If they have it, they're happy and their life is good. If they don't have it, they're sad. And it rules their life. They're slaves to it. They're slaves to it. So this is the point, that if a person, he worships something, he devotes actions of worship to something, he has taken that thing as his ilah. That he's taken that thing as his ilah. So the aliha, there are many. The aliha, there are many. The many. The aliha, there are many. And we have seen that likewise. وَلَا تَذَرُونَ آلِهَتَكُمْ وَلَا تَذَرُونَ وَدًّا وَلَا سُوَاعًا وَلَا يَغُوثَ وَيُعُقَ وَنَسْرًا. The first aliha. Now, the first aliha in the time of Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam. So these are affirmed, but these are all aliha batila. These are all false gods. They're not worthy of worship. They're not worthy of worship. And likewise, فَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّ وَمَنَاتَ ثَالِثَةَ الْأُخْرَى. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as well. These are three aliha, names. They're mentioned by name in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is something that is well known. They used to worship them besides Allah. These were objects of worship besides Allah Azza wa Jal. They're aliha that existed, but they're aliha batila. They're false gods. They're not truly worthy of worship. So anything that somebody devotes himself to or directs any action or any aspect of worship to, that has become his ilah. He has taken it as ilah. اتخذه إلها له. اتخذه إلها له. He has taken it as ilah. مألو له معبود. He's giving this thing his worship. So now that's an object of worship for him. So anything that's taken as an object of worship besides Allah is falsehood and not worthy of worship. But only Allah alone is the true God who's worthy of worship. And only Allah alone is the true God who's worthy of worship. So this is the point to be made with the term al-ilah. We understand what al-ilah means. When we say the word ilah, it means an object of worship, something that is worshipped. So there are many things that is worshipped, but the only one who's worshipped in truth and deserves to be worshipped is al-ilah. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the meaning of the statement, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. So now whenever we want to interpret this statement, now we understand what ilah means. Ilah, it means ma'luh, the one that is worshipped, an object of worship. An object of worship. And we know that there are many likewise. And also we've seen another synonym for the word ma'luh, which is ma'bud. So many times we'll use this term in order to further emphasize and clarify the meaning, and this term is well known. So then whenever we say la ilaha illallah, we say la ma'bud. La ma'bud illallah. But now there's also in the Arabic language, the khabr here is missing. This is la anafi lil jins. And wa ismuha tukun nakira mabniya ala fat fi mahal nasb. And then the khabr is mahduf. And this is normal in the Arabic language. And it's understood here that it's haqq. La ilaha haqqun illallah. This is the meaning of the statement. This is what is understood. La ma'buda haqqun illallah. There's no true God worthy of worship except for Allah. This is the meaning of the statement. There's no true God worthy of worship except for Allah. La ma'buda haqqun illallah. La ma'buda haqqun illallah. So this term here is very important, haqq, because there are many ma'budat. There are many aliha, as we have seen, but they're not aliha haqqan. They're aliha, yani fil baathil. They are false gods. They're false gods. Allah, He mentions about this in His book. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ الباطل. That is because Allah, He is Al-Haq. And those whom they call on besides Allah are Batil. This is clear text in the Quran. This verse has come twice in Surah Hajj, and likewise, and very similar in Surah Hajj, and likewise in Surah Luqman. ذلك بأن الله هو الحق وأن ما يدعون من دونه هو الباطل. This is Surah Al-Hajj. ذلك بأن الله هو الحق وأن ما يدعون من دونه الباطل in Surah Luqman. So this is because Allah, He is the truth, and those whom they call on besides Allah is falsehood. So therefore, to interpretate this statement like this, لا إله لا معبود حق إلا الله. This is the correct meaning, that there is no true God who is worthy of worship except for Allah. Because all of the other gods that are worshipped are batil, like Allah, He mentioned in His book. So this is the clear interpretation. We have seen before in previous classes, just to remind, that from the misinterpretations, لا خالق, لا رازق, لا مدبر للأمور إلا الله. We have seen that's falsehood. And the Prophet ﷺ didn't fight his people for that meaning. That was likewise clarified in the previous class. These are such important points with regards to having a sound creed. That's not what it meant. The statement is good, but that's not what the statement La ilaha illallah means. And that's not why they fought the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he fought them. That's not why there was the conflict and there was the dispute between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his people. Now, if the meaning of La ilaha illallah was La khaliqa illallah, there would have been no problem, because they already believed that. But whenever he said that, they understood, as has preceded, that means they have to leave their gods, because they know what ilah means. So here the statement, La ilaha illallah, la ma'buda haqqun illallah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to his people and he told them, all that you're doing is falsehood, and all those things that you're worshiping besides Allah is falsehood, and that which your forefathers were upon is falsehood. And he had a great task, and he was faced with great challenges, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he carried that in the most noble and best manner, striving to clarify the tawheed of Allah azza wa jal, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now we see that this statement here, la ilaha illallah, we see the proper interpretation, la ma'bud haqqun illallah. We see how we get the term ma'bud from understanding the term ilah. And then likewise, that is the khabar, the information, that there's no true God. This is important likewise, because Allah, He says that He is the only true God who is worthy of worship, and everything that they call on besides Him is falsehood. So this is the proper interpretation. This is the proper understanding. لا معبود حق إلا الله. Or even some other people of knowledge, they will say, La ma'buda bi haqqin illallah. This very similar meaning, the exact same meaning, slightly different in the Arab, the meaning is the same. La ma'buda bi haqqin illallah. There's no one who is worshipped in truth. There's no one who is worthy of worship except for Allah. There's no true God worthy of worship except for Allah. So this statement here, is the kalimatu al-tawheed and kalimatu al-ikhlas wal urwatu al-wuthqa. This is wahiya kalima al-tayyibah namuhu wahiya al-qawl al-thabit, the firm statement, the good word, the strong handhold, the great bond, the statement of sincerity and purity, the statement of al-tawheed. So the people of knowledge, they clarified likewise another great point, in that this statement here, it stands on two pillars. The statement La ilaha illallah is based upon two pillars, and there's no tawheed except by bringing both of them. And that is a nafyu wa ithbat, negation and affirmation. Nafyun am fi awwaliha wa ithbatun khas fi akhiriha. There's a general negation in the beginning of this statement, and there is a specific affirmation in the end of the statement. La ilaha la ma'buda bihaq. And this is general. And this is the benefit of la and nafi al jins. La ilaha la rajula fi dar. And no man is in the house. What's absolute? No man, no white man, no black man, no tall man, no short man, no old man, no young man. And this is what this la means here. Whenever you say la and then the word after it is nakira and it has a fatha. لا رجل في الدار لا أحد في البيت لا أحد meaning no one absolutely no one is in the house. So then whenever you say لا إله absolutely no one, يعني this is an encompassing negation. لا إله لا معبود بحق absolutely nothing is worthy of worship. This is encompassing. Nothing large, nothing small, nothing great, nothing low, nothing lofty and high and noble, nothing lowly and despicable, nothing whatsoever. Nothing whatsoever besides Allah is worthy of worship. إِلَّا اللَّهِ except for Allah. Except for Allah. Specific affirmation. Affirming the right to be worshipped alone for Allah. Negating the right to be worshipped from every aspect with all of its meanings. Negating the right of ibadah, of uluhiyah. Of ubudiyah, negating the right of ibadah from every aspect with all of its meanings, from everything besides Allah, and affirming it for Allah alone. Affirming for Allah, this is tawheed, to single out Allah alone with worship. He said, "I'lam rahimakallah, anna tawheed huwa ifradullah ibadah." You must know, may Allah have mercy on you, that a tawheed is to single out Allah alone in worship. Then he says on the page that we're studying, وَهَذَا التَّوْحِيدُ هُوَ مَعْنَى قَوْلِكَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And that tawheed, أَلَذِي هُوَ إِفْرَادُ اللَّهِ بِالْعِبَادَةِ أَلَذِي هُوَ إِفْرَادُ اللَّهِ بِالْعِبَادَةِ هُوَ مَعْنَى قَوْلِكَ يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُسْلِمُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And that tawheed, which is to sing Allah alone in all aspects of worship, is the meaning of the statement of yours. Whenever you say, O Muslim, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. La ilaha illallah. So this statement stands and is based upon negation and affirmation. If a person, he brought the first pillar and didn't bring the second pillar, he's going to be considered a mulhid. إِذَا نَفَى وَلَمْ يُثْبِتْ فَإِنَّهُ مُلْحِدْ وَإِذَا أَثْبَتَ وَلَمْ يَنْفِي فَإِنَّهُ مُشْرِكْ. If a person, he negated only and didn't bring the affirmation, then he will be an atheist. If he said, La ilaha, there's no God. Who says that? The mulhidun, the malahida, the atheist. تَعَلَى اللَّهُ عَمَّا يَقُولُونَ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا. If they affirm and they don't negate, then what will they be? They'll be mushrikun. They'll be associating partners with Allah Azza wa Jal. We have to negate and affirm at the same time. We have to negate the right from everything. The right to be worshipped from every aspect with all the meanings of worship. Inwardly and outwardly, we have to negate that from everything besides Allah Azza wa Jal and affirm it for Allah alone. That's called Tawheed. That's called Ikhlas, making the creed pure. Pure for Allah. Singling out Allah alone in worship. Devoting all actions of worship and servitude, love and hope and fear and trust and reliance and every aspect of obedience to Allah alone. لِأَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Because there's no one worthy of worship except for Allah. He's the creator and the provider and the sustainer. He's the one whenever you're in dire stress, He saves you and helps you. And whenever you get sick, He cures you. And whenever you're lost, He guides you. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who's worthy of worship. Alone with no partners. Alone with no partners. This is the meaning of that statement. We understand the aspect of the negation and affirmation. The negation and affirmation. La ilaha. La is called la anafiyah. Little jinns. This is a term for negation. You only say la when you want to negate something. No, nothing. Nothing. La ilah. Nothing is worthy of worship. La ma'buda haqqun illallah. Except for Allah. Now this is affirmation. In Arabic, the negation is called nafyun. And the affirmation is called ithbatun. It's called ithbat. So there's a general encompassing negation in the beginning with a specific affirmation in the end. Negating all aspects of worship with every meaning and understanding of that from everything besides Allah and affirming it for Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, these affairs, they are not just based upon opinions. Rather, this is what is understood in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. So if we were to read in the Quran a number of verses, these meanings have come clarifying that this is the proper interpretation. Because the word La ilaha illallah has a correct interpretation, and that is the interpretation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions. Radiallahu anhu, it has a correct understanding, and that is the understanding of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions. Radiallahu anhum, and this is what they have left behind for us. So therefore we have to search for that and look for that sincerely and truly. sincerely and truly and hope to find the truth and understand the statement properly so that we can believe in it and follow in it and live upon it and die upon it. This is what a believer, he will seek knowledge for. He will seek knowledge for. This is the foundation of knowledge. So with regards to this, we see that statement that has preceded. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقُّ. That is because Allah, He is the truth. He is the truth. This is affirming that Allah, He is the truth. وَإِنَّمَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ هُوَ الْبَاطِلِ. And everything that they call on, they supplicate to, that they invoke besides Him is falsehood. So that's the basic meaning of La ilaha illallah. That Allah, He is the truth, and everything else that's called on besides Him and invoked besides Him and supplicated to besides Him is falsehood. Is falsehood. So in the statement La ilaha illallah, we see that it has negation in the beginning and affirmation in the end. And some verses it will be exactly in the same manner, other verses it will be backwards. Maybe the affirmation will come in the beginning and the negation will come in the end. This doesn't change the meaning. The meaning is the same. So here we say that the affirmation is in the beginning. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ وَأَنَّمَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ الْبَاطِلِ. That is because Allah, He is the truth. Affirming that Allah, He is the truth. He's the one who is the true God worthy of worship. And that which they call on besides Him is falsehood, meaning not worthy of worship. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, likewise He mentioned in Surah Al-Jinn, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَدْعُوا رَبِّي وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِهِ أَحَدًا. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I only call on my Lord, and I do not associate any partners with Him whatsoever. قُلْ, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I only supplicate and call on my Lord. I only invoke and call on my Lord. And I do not associate any partners with Him whatsoever. This is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. I only call on my Lord. This is the illallah. وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِهِ أَحَدًا. And I do not associate any partners with Him. This is negation. And I do not associate any partners with Him. This is negation. So here the affirmation came in the beginning and the negation came in the end. And likewise, whenever Allah, He mentioned about Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي فَإِنَّهُ سَيَهْدِينَ. And remember when Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said to his father and his people, indeed I am free from that which you worship. Indeed I am free, I free myself, I'm free, innocent from that which you worship, except for the one who created me. So for indeed he's going to guide me. So here we see this is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Indeed I am free from those whom you worship, except for the one who created me. Yeah, I'm not free from him. So likewise, the statement La ilaha illallah is the statement. It has this nafy and ithbat is also in another term called bara'a wal wala. Al wala wal bara'. This is a statement of wala wal bara'. This is a statement of al muhabba wa al bughd, of love and hate. You love Allah and you hate everything that's worshipped besides Him. You have an allegiance for Allah and you disavow and turn yourself away from everything in contradiction to that. In contradiction to that, this is the meaning of the statement. Innani bara'un mimma ta'budun. Indeed, I am free from everything that you worship. Illa alladhi fatarani. Except for the one who created me. Meaning that even the people Ibrahim, although they worship others, although they worship others besides Allah, from the stars and the likes and the objects in the sky, also they worshiped Allah. Illa alladhi fatarani. I am not free from Him, because indeed He's going to guide me. So this is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. There's negation and affirmation here. Likewise, Allah, He says, قُلْ, يعني يا محمد, say to them, إِنَّمَا أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَلَا أُشْرِكَ بِهِ. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I was only ordered to worship Allah and not associate any partners with Him. Negation and affirmation. أَنْ أَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ. إِنَّمَا أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ. I'm only commanded to worship Allah. What is this? Affirmation. وَلَا أُشْرِكَ بِهِ. And not associate any partners with Him. This is negation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُ. This is the statement that that Allah, He mentioned, that came off the tongue of the prophets and messengers first whenever they met their people. Whenever they met their people, all of them, they mentioned the same statement, this statement here. If you read in Surah Al-A'raf, or you read in Surah Hud, or Surah Al-A'raf, or in Surah Mu'minun, this statement here comes time after time whenever Allah is mentioning the stories of the prophets back to back. Ya qawmi urbudu allaha ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. O my people, worship Allah. You have ma lakum min ilah ghayru. You have no ilah, meaning you have no ma'budun bihaq ghayru. You have no true God worthy of worship besides Him. So this is the call of all of the prophets and messengers. The first thing that they said, ya qawmi, O my people. The first thing Nuh, he said to, ya qawmi, O my people, urbudu Allah. Worship Allah. مَا لَكُم مِّنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُ. You have absolutely no true God worthy of worship. غَيْرُ. Besides Him. Besides Him. So this is in the beginning. عُبُدُ Allah. This is affirmation. مَا لَكُم مِّنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُ. Absolute, encompassing. General negation from every aspect. From every aspect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And your Lord has decreed, meaning legislated, that you should not worship anyone except for Him. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. And your Lord has decreed, legislated, and ordered and command that you should not worship anyone except for Him. La ilaha illallah. All of these verses here are in a clear interpretation of the meaning of this statement. What is required and what it necessitates. That you do not worship anyone except for Allah. And that you free yourself from everything that's worshipped besides Allah. And that you deem it to be falsehood. And that Allah alone is worthy of worship. And He is the only one who is worshipped in truth. And He is the only one worshipped in truth. All of these verses here, they clearly clarify that. أَمَرَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهِ. Allah has ordered that you should not worship anyone except for Him. Except for Him. قُلْ يَا أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ. This is da'wah. If you want to call the people of the book, what does Allah say to them? قُلْ يَا مُحَمَّدْ. يَا أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ. O people of the book, تَعَالَوْا إِلَى كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ. Come to a statement that is a statement that we can agree upon. The same between us. Come to a kalima. What is that kalima? What is the kalima that Allah Azza wa Jalla ordered His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to call the people of a book, the people of the book to agree upon? What is that kalima? Alla na'buda illa Allah wa la nushrika bihi shay'a. That we should not worship anyone except for Allah, and that we should not associate any partners with Him whatsoever. Ya Ahlul Kitab, this is the da'wah. We want to call the people of the book. We don't make interfaith da'wah and go to their churches and smile with them and let them call us to hallelujah, praise the Lord in the name of Jesus and the likes like this, or call them to our masjid and smile with them and never tell them that if they die in that manner, they'll be in the fire, or that worshiping Jesus is falsehood, or that Jesus is not worthy. We just... and even watering it down to the worst extent like they do in the interfaith da'wah. Rather, this is clear. The manner to call the people of the book. قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا. Allahu Akbar. Come to a statement, come to a word we can agree upon between us and you. That we should not worship anyone except for Allah. And that we should not associate any partners with Him whatsoever. So therefore the call for the Muslims to call the people of the book is to call them to what? هذه الكلمة الشهادة أن لا إله إلا الله ألا نعبد إلا الله ولا نشرك به شيئا. That we should not worship anyone except for Allah. Not Jesus, عيسى عليه السلام, not Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, not Jibreel, not anyone under them. Not Jailani, and not Rifai, and not anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ولا نشرك به شيئا. We should not associate any partners whatsoever with Him and worship. This is the da'wah. وَإِذْ اعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ. But whenever they turned away from them and everything that they worship besides Allah. And he referring to the people of the Kahf. Referring to the people of the cave. Whenever they turned away from them and everything that they're worshiping except for Allah. Except for Allah. قَالُوا أَجِئْتَنَا لِنَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ. Or they said, and to their prophet, قَالُوا أَجِئْتَنَا لِنَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ. Did you come to us so that we can worship Allah alone? Yani this is the meaning of la ilaha inna hadha la shay. This is something that they found to be amazing. They were not ready for that because they understood what it meant. They understood what it meant. Then it becomes even more clear. And these verses that follow. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. And whoever disbelieves in all of those false gods that are worshipped besides Allah and believes in Allah, then verily he has grasped the strongest handhold. And even then, verily, he is the one who was holding fast to the statement, La ilaha illallah, the obligation of disbelieving in everything that's worshipped besides Allah and believing in Allah alone. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ. And indeed, we have sent in every nation a messenger proclaiming to them, أَنْ يَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ. الطَّاغُوتِ is a general term, has a number of meanings. To summarize, anything that's worshipped besides Allah is considered طاغوت. All of the false gods worship besides Allah is considered ta'gud. اُعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. Worship Allah alone and turn away from all of the false gods that are worshipped besides Allah. This is affirmation and negation. Affirmation and negation. All of this is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. This is what all of the prophets and messengers they were sent with. This is what we have been affirming. Yani walillahi alhamd. وَالَّذِينَ اجْتَنَبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ أَنْ يَعْبُدُوهَا وَأَنَابُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فَبَشِّرْ عِبَادِ. Those who turned away from all of the false gods and left off worshipping them, and they turn sincerely in repentance and devotion to Allah, they are the ones who have the glad tidings. So give glad tidings to my slaves. فَبَشِّرْ عِبَادِ يعني عِبَادِي. Those whom Allah has chosen to be from the people of La ilaha illallah. They turn away from worshipping the false gods and they devote themselves with sincerity and with repentance. وَقَالَ اللَّهُ لَتَتَّخِذُوا إِلَهَيْنِ إِثْنَيْنِ إِنَّمَا هُوَ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ فَإِيَّايَ فَارْحَبُونَ. And Allah, He says, do not take two gods. He is only one God. Do not take two gods. This is negation. He's only one God. This is affirmation. And therefore, fear Him alone. فَلَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِينَ تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ وَلَكِنْ أَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ. Say to them, I do not worship those whom you worship besides Allah, but I worship Allah. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So all of these verses here and many more. And many more. You will be able to look into them if you ponder over them. These verses about worship, they're all about the clarifying the meaning of La ilaha illallah, establishing these two pillars, negation and affirmation. And likewise, the statements here, to clarify and emphasize, this is al-wala wal-bara. And that's the fundamental foundation of the deen. Al-hubbu wal-bughdu fillah. Al-hubbu wal-bughdu fillah. We must love this statement. If we learn what this statement means and understand it properly, we must love it and show preference to the love of this statement. We must love it and show preference to the love of the statement, and love to establish the statement, and love to implement the statement, and live upon the statement, and hope by the grace and mercy of Allah to die upon the statement, and to have the great fruits in the hereafter of this statement, beginning in the grave. يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, they will say, رَبِّ Allah, my Lord is Allah. Dini al-Islam, my deen is al-Islam. والنبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, my prophet is Muhammad. This is usul al-thalatha. They're the usul al-thalatha that every one of us will be asked about in our grave. And those who pass, and they are winners. And those who do not pass, they are losers. وَلِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. This is all going back to understanding this statement. لا إله إلا الله لا معبود حق إلا الله لا معبود حق إلا الله. There is no true God worthy of worship except for Allah. Even if we want to look into the text, we'll find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many times he did not suffice with this, rather he'll emphasize لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. There's no true God worthy of worship except for Allah, alone with no partners. This comes many times. وحده لا شريك له. These here are emphasizing the pillars. Who can identify that for us? لا إله إلا الله. Where are the pillars here? لا إله, negation. إلا الله, affirmation. This additional statement we find in many of the أذكار, and in many of the narrations and the likes, and many of the texts, we'll find that it comes after that. This statement here emphasizes the negation affirmation. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. Where's the emphasis for la ilaha? So the la ilaha is negation. So then, la sharika in the end. So it's in the beginning and the end. La ilaha la sharika la. Illallah wahdahu. Wahdahu. You understand? La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. So the wahdahu is emphasizing the affirmation, and the la sharika la is emphasizing the negation. You understand? La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Wahdahu. Alone. Alone. La sharika la. With no partners. With no partners. And this is the talbiyah. لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد ونعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. And in these affairs. So therefore, This is the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the deen of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is the meaning of the statement, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. If we understand this statement, we have desire and care, we want to learn this statement, we want to know, and then we have effort, and then we see and understand it properly and work against our souls to implement that, then watch the khair come into your life. Watch the khair come into your life. Watch the peace and the ease come into your heart. Watch the facilitation come into your life. Even challenges in life, they will not stop. This life is a test. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will aid you and He will help you. And He will grant you ease and peace and direct you and help you to choose and to make the right decisions and place you in the right place that's beneficial for you. That's beneficial for you. He will save you. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And in the same manner, the way that Allah, He saved the prophets and messengers who were the leaders of La ilaha illallah and the callers to La ilaha illallah, then likewise Allah, He will save those who believe in their call and follow their path. We ask Allah to make us from the followers of the prophets and messengers, and that they will be our role models, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, and to make us from the true followers of the final and the last prophet and messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to fill our hearts with tawheed, and to fill our hearts with certainty and the pleasure with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to make it easy for us to accept the guidance and to see it and to follow it. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.